Alexa, what is the baddest podcast in the land?
Here's Pulling Back the Curtain podcast registered from Amazon Music. Playing the latest episode.
On today's show, we pull back the curtain on the misconceptions surrounding DEI and much, much more. DJ, we back in the building. How you doing?
I'm good. I can't complain. School, so, you know, another semester down, a couple more to go. So that's nice. Can't lie. Back home with the fam. Thanksgiving was great. Been watching my nephew here and there, my three-year-old nephew. That's been a lot of fun. So, yeah, doing pretty good.
How was that mac and cheese, bruh?
Oh, it was good. Oh, mac and cheese was great. 10 out of 10. Woo, you know, that and some football would do you right.
Man, listen, I don't even want to talk about no damn football because...
Yeah, I thought about it, but when I said it, I said, I forgot. That, I said, oops.
Bro, but you know what? That was a blessing in disguise because it got Matty Bethuse the fuck off my team. I'm not going to get too much into that because it's honestly, like, we ain't trying to hear all this sports talk, but y'all going to hear me for one quick second. Because while DJ was over there enjoying that mac and cheese, running around with his nephew, enjoying everything. So, DJ, I'm just gonna put it out here to you like this. Moments before the Arkansas-Illinois game start, I sneak away, go try to see what's happening with the Bears game. And he doesn't call that timeout and that play and all that bullshit that transpired after that. And I just sat there and I'm like, what is today? I'm like, first of all, I'm in fucking Kansas City. I'm not with my family right now. And this is the thanks that I get from my fucking team? I was so pissed off. I'm like, I deserve better. What did I do?
I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm pissed for you. Cause like that was such
thank you.
Watching thank that you. In real time was actually crazy. Like, cause for my family, we start Thanksgiving early. So everybody was already sitting down, watch. So we're all sitting there watching. I'm sitting next to Pops. And even he was like, yo, timeout. Like he yelled like he coaching. I'd be like, he one of them people.
I can see it.
He's like, timeout. And I'm like, yeah, why are we not? And my uncle's like, timeout. I'm like, yeah, why are we not calling a timeout? And then he took it and just threw it. And I was just like, what in the heck just happened? Like, I was just in there just baffled. And honestly, now that I've been in this space, like in the family, I am like the sports journalist guy. So everybody's looking at me like, what? What's going on? I said, I'm just as confused as y'all. I said, and I almost said, I was like, that man might get fired for that one. And sure enough, the next day, I said, well, I called my dad. I was like, you called it. I said, I mean, that's just a bad look. Like that, what the heck?
I mean, not calling you out here, DJ, but that was one of the ones that if they didn't, then that would just be supreme incompetence, right?
No, you know? Literally. Like, my dad's like, you called it. And I was like, I don't know if I deserve too much credit, though, because like, that would have been, that's just a bad look.
I was at Hallis Hall that next day, and we're sitting here like, wait a minute, why is Matty Mifluse meeting with us? So in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, they didn't fire him. I'm like, so they're cowards. They didn't do they didn't do the right thing. And then this man sits up here in the presser, and he's answering questions talking about San Francisco. And I'm sitting up here like, bro, you ain't going to be here to fucking coach that game. What is you up here for? Why didn't they fire him? So we're over here asking him questions legit, like, hey, is your job in jeopardy? Are you going to be coaching in the game? And he said over here like, yeah, I'm preparing for San Francisco. Because you know what? And I said this on my Bears platform. Anybody in their right mind would think, if you allow me to come to work today, that I'm still employed here.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, so I'm going to show up and do my job. But no, it's just Bears incompetence. They can't even fire the guy correctly because then an hour after he speaks with us, then here comes the news that he's fired. I'm sitting here like, bro, this franchise does not deserve good things.
That's crazy. Hey, so I just saw it across my news feed. I didn't know they had to let that man go do the presser that morning. Oh, that's terrible. That poor guy thought he had a job still.
I think he in his heart, he knew he was up out of there.
There's no way.
Yeah. I mean, come on, bro. You know they have that meme with the Jets guy going to the facility and his badge don't work.
Oh, yeah. We can't get in? Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Isn't that from Hard Knocks?
That's from Hard Knocks. And I guarantee you, Eberflus was probably surprised when his shit lit green.
He was like, ding. He's like, oh, wow. Like.
He was like, these motherfuckers really are stupid. So that was the things that I had, man. So, you know, my friend Mike, I had told you about, that lives in Casey. I ended up pulling up over there to his family. Bruh, I ain't gonna lie to you, DJ, man. His mama, man, she threw down on the mac and cheese.
That's what's
Ain't as
up.
good as ain't and moms, if you listening, ain't as good as your mac and cheese, but it's top five. Who's top five? It
Okay, all
wasn't
right,
in the
top five.
and it wasn't in the damn crock pot, so got that.
Hey, that win's a win.
Yeah. And she bro, she made like some barbecue ribs, man, and she made her own sauce. I'm talking, whoa, she threw down.
Oh, snap. No, she threw down.
Dude, down, down. Now, I will say this though. Remember, I told you though, they had stuffing. And, you know, my family, you know, do stuff. We do dressing, you know,
Dressing,
so I didn't
yep.
touch it. Yeah, I ain't touch it. That's what I said. I ain't messing with your stovetop stuff. But, bro, I tore up them ribs, man. They were so good.
I mean,
Fall off the
yeah.
bone. Fall off the bone, DJ.
Oh, yeah. You have to tear those up. That's the only appropriate thing to do.
Nah, man. So no, it was all good, man. Like I said, so the Bears, they tried to steal my joy, but I was like, no, I'm not gonna let y'all do this to me, man. And so no, it was good, man. And like I said, man, I just been traveling. I got a whole week of slew of games coming up, DJ, on my end. And
Yep.
again, you know how we do, man. Shit just, don't stop. But I love it. I love the grind. And I got vacation coming up, so until then, man, I'm going down this home stretch of December. And I'll mow these games down.
That's what's up. I mean,
Sir.
gotta love, like you said, you gotta love the grind. Gotta
Because you
love
know
it.
what? You got to be a little bit of a sick human to do what you and I do, right, with this journalism stuff. Because let's just say, you're putting yourself in a situation where all your work's being criticized. You're putting
Yup.
yourself in a situation where you could ask a question that could trigger the fuck out of somebody in front of 100 people in the room and then obviously to the whole rest of the world. So you gotta be a little of a sicko, and I am a sicko. So I love
Hey,
that shit.
you ain't lying, 'cause hey, someone who does some stuff and says some things sometimes, you have to think in the back of your head, like, I hope this don't come bite me in the ass. You really do. You really do. You really do. And so like, you're right though. Part of it's a little sick, but I love sports and I have fun with this. I love it. I can't lie.
You should be having fun because right now in your journey with this whole thing, you're still dipping your toe in. You ain't been in this long enough where you start getting jaded by looking around and you like, wait a minute, why am I getting seated here and this person over here getting seated down there? Because that's where I'm starting to get to now. I'm looking around, I'm like looking at these seating charts, and I'm like, the fuck? Why is he sitting there?
Yeah.
Why is he sitting a row beneath me and his platform got less? So yeah, so now I'm getting to the petty stage.
Yeah. It's a competition. Yeah, that's real. Yeah, I'm just happy to be in the room. I can't
Oh
lie. You
yeah.
right. You right. I'm young. I'm just like, I'm here. Like, I
And
can't
I could
lie.
tell that. But just wait.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just wait. That zenith
Oh,
is gonna
yeah.
come, and you're gonna be like me. Like I said, bro, you and I can have some conversations in the future about that. Because I right now, something happened to me. I was covering a game in Northwestern, and I'm gonna put them on blast. Fuck Northwestern because so I'm covering a game there last weekend, and it took them literally. I was the last person on our beat to get credentialed. They were like, oh, for some reason, your application, it didn't go through to this inbox. And then I'm sitting up here like, okay, so all I'm hearing is excuses. I'm like, am I approved or not? They're like, oh, yeah,
No,
you're
right.
approved. So then they were like, oh, yeah, we got you. I'm on that. Nah, you gonna put some respect on what the hell I'm doing over here.
That's
Before?
facts, though.
See, because if they'd have called me 2 years ago, DJ, I'd have just been happy to be in the room because I
Yep.
was. But ain't
That's
no more
real.
that. Yeah, ain't no more that humble shit, bro.
Yeah, covering one of the games for you were like, yeah, you need to be the first question out there. And I was like, oh, but I was like, this is new for me. 'Cause like you said, I'm just like, I'm happy to be in the room. I'm just like, ha, I'm here, let's get it. But also you said I'm just starting out. So for me, it's the at least I have my foot in the door. And like, knowing that some people don't get the opportunity, I'm just happy for the opportunity and show what I'm made of.
I don't want you to lose your passion for this thing, but just, make sure that, people at the same time, while you're being happy, also just make sure people ain't playing in your face because they try that shit in this field, man. And
I don't doubt it.
I've had to check some people and I haven't had any problems. Yeah, it's a sick part of the thing. And this is the reason why I wanted to do this episode here today because I do feel like sometimes when you have a platform like what I started, which is a independent, right? So I'm not associated with a newspaper. I'm not associated with any sort of four-letter network and all that bullshit. We out here trying to, do something different, man. We're trying to do something authentically. But it's a company that's thriving, right? Because everybody can open, and I don't want to take shots at people. Anybody can start a company.
Yeah.
But is your company profitable? Is your company making money? right? Do people want to invest in your company, right? Which I can raise my hand to all three of those and say yes. Because a lot of this also too, in this space, DJ, and you've probably seen this, people like size you up. They're looking at your credential. They're trying to see
oh,
who
all
you
the
work
time.
with. Yeah, it's weird behavior, bro. I just like, man, if you want to just talk to me, just talk to me. You ain't got to do the whole, because honestly, I got to the point now where I flipped that motherfucker around. So you ain't even doing that, looking at my chest shit. Like, what you doing, man?
My government name Daryl, but everybody calls me DJ. I'm a junior from my dad, but like I was always born to 10 calling DJ. So I get these moments where people look at me and be like, oh, like Daryl. And it's like, well, if you look me in my eyes, I'll tell you my name is DJ. So that's how you know immediately you're not really trying to get to know me or have a real conversation. My age never helps at this point in this space, because now they look at me trying to figure out like who I am or why this random little student newspaper is in here. And it's like, no, I got here and I earned it. Like, don't do that. Because that gets me a little tight too sometimes, where they look at me like, how old are you? And it's like, all right. The way you said that made me feel like you're really trying to say I ain't supposed to be here. But newsflash, I'm supposed to be here. So don't do that. Like, you know. A lot of times I've gotten that question of like, how old are you? Or they stare at my credentials real hard thinking I'm trying to sneak in. And it's like, no, I belong here. I worked hard to be here. So don't do that. How old are you? Like, where are you supposed to be? No, don't do that.
That's almost like that must be nice shit that I hate. But I will tell you this, DJ. What I've learned is not everybody's happy to see you progress in this world. And I don't know what that is. You know,
I don't know either, but talk on it.
Yeah, because you know people, you know, like they're supposedly like in your life and they want what's good for you. But then when you go out there and get it, them be the people that be low-key like wanting what you do to like fail. Or if something negative is associated with what you're doing, they'll talk on that. But then when you know, got some good stuff going on, they like quiet. So that's been the thing that I've been learning, man. And I've been kind of peeping that shit. I've been kind of just sitting back and I'm like, you know what? It's not going to stop me, but it just makes me sad, because I'm just like, damn, I thought we was cool. Like, why am I getting this weird energy from somebody that I'm thinking that they should be happy for me just like the strangers that are happy for me, bro? I literally was at an event yesterday where I had this lady. She saw my logo and she's like, wait a minute. She was like, you guys just did a video for my son. And oh my God, I love you guys. I've been this, that. I love that. It's real and it's authentic. And she appreciates the work that my team was doing. And you would think that the people that know me, and they should be able to be like, damn, we grew up together. And we used to hoop together. We used to play football together, man. Could you imagine back then if we would have had a platform that was built by Black people?
Right.
And highlighted Black people in a positive way, how that would have done for us? You would think that they would be the first ones that would want to big that up. Nah. They'd be the first ones to send me a link from Bleacher Report. And I'm sitting up here like, hey, I'm like, all right, bro, what you sending me this shit for? I don't give a fuck with somebody writing in Bleacher Report. I do this shit too. And so people don't get that. They think that, you know, just because you in this space, that like, it's almost like you playing around with it. It's like, no, I ain't playing around. I'm for real, as you young folks say. Real for real. You know, I just was at a school last week speaking, and I was saying something to one of the kids. One of them was like, yeah, no, yeah, for real, for real. And I was like, why y'all say that all the time?
I don't know how to explain it, but I'm just like, yo, like, I don't know. I'm just being for real, for real. Like, I'm 100%, like, 10 toes down, stand on business. I feel like there's many ways to say the same thing.
Yeah, that's what he said. He was like, I don't know, you stand on business, Unk. And I'm like, oh, so I'm Unk. All right, cool.
Oh, see, right. Unk is crazy. I ain't gonna call you an Unk. That's wild.
That is wild. I remember when I was their ages, most of my teachers were women. And so I go back because I want them to see something that I hope that is going to leave an impression on. We also have banter and joking. So when they were like, oh, Unk, I'm like, you know your uncle can't grow hair like this. And so then it's like, they can't roast me, man, because I told them. He grew up in a household where moms did the best she could. But my genes, bruh, they flooded like a mug, bro. I'm talking about, I heard every joke about floods that you could ever hear, right? As a grown-ass man out here in this world, I'm going to roast myself before I would let anybody roast me.
Yep, I'm the same way. You can't get to me because I got to me first.
Yeah, exactly. It's self-preservation. Mm-hmm. My grandmother would say some shit to me, and I'd be sitting there like, damn. And she'd be like, hey, your breath stink. I'm like, damn.
Oh, that's wild. No, that's foul.
So that... I'm like, it's y'all fault. Y'all ain't buy no damn Mouthwash.
Yo, I'm crying. Nah, cause honestly, that's how my uncle is though. Cause he joke on all of us, and I'm like, yeah. Cause I remember me before I grew the dreads out, I had a dome piece. I still do, but the hair hides it a little better now. Man, listen, he used to call me Megamind. I mean, I'm skinny. He called me Sticks. Like at that point, that's my uncle. So the rest of y'all can't really get to me as good as he do. Like at that point, I'm just like, you can't get to me because I've already joked to myself, and my family already did it. And I care what they say. So if I don't care what you say, you can't get to me like that.
I appreciate family members that are like that because I remember somebody once told me, I think it's toxic when people do that kind of stuff. Because she was like, you're toxic because you sit here and you like make all these jokes and stuff like that. And I'm sitting up here like, I guess, but you know what? What I said is still true.
Hey, honestly, if I'm toxic for laughing and having a good time, then shoot, I'm as toxic as they can be, I guess, because I can't lie. When I make jokes, I laugh and I have a good time.
Listen,
I'd be so honest.
that's life, right? And I think people
Right.
that are listening to this show, they realize that, you know, DJ and I, we're having fun right now because that's life. We got enough stuff in this world to serious because we're gonna get into it right now with the Brian Thompson murder. You guys
Oh.
saw it. I'm talking about my man was straight out of GTA 5 with that one.
No,
He pulled
literally,
up
I'm
on
so
him.
glad you said that. I am so glad you said that because I was like, this is some video game shit. That's the first thing I thought. I was like, yo,
Yeah.
like, just
John Wick with it. John Wick with it,
no,
bro.
literally. I was like, what out of yo, I released like action movie just running up. Like, that's crazy to me.
All right, I have an admission to make, audience, and you guys are going to probably judge me. Please don't judge me too harshly for this. But when I saw that video, I went back and downloaded GTA 5 and I did the assassination mission. And yeah.
Yo, yo, you did not just say that.
Yeah. I mean, it's the honest truth because, I sent the video to my brother. I was like, I finally passed this mission. Remember how I was telling you a couple years ago I can never pass that mission? I said, I was motivated. And I said, probably wild to say that. And he was like, yo. He was like, yo, you are wild.
No, that's crazy. He said I was motivated. Yo. Oh my gosh. Yo, I ain't played GTA 5 in a minute.
You know the mission I'm talking about. That
I
shit
know
fire as
exactly what you're
hell.
talking about. That's why I'm laughing so hard. 'Cause I'm like, yo, you did not.
I'm like, if fam could do it with a ghost gun, I can do this shit now.
No, nah, chill, chill. That's crazy. Yo, that is wild. I still can't get over it. Like, I just genuinely almost am speechless because I'm just, that's what we doing now? Just out. I did see one of those. I don't know if you've been seeing this trend, Prez, with the memes of Pepe from the Muppets with that face. But I saw one that was like the McDonald's owner going back to the dollar menu before he get done, like the CEO of UnitedHealthcare. And I was like, yo, that's sick. Like, I can't
I'm
lie.
gonna say this.
I can't
I
lie, I
didn't see
laughed.
that one. I
I
didn't
can't
see
lie,
that
I
one. But
laughed.
you know what? I got some feedback for that McDonald's worker. They are not gonna give you that reward because you did not call the tip line. You called the police, you stupid motherfucker, thinking you did the right thing. And you work at McDonald's. I can't wait till they deny your first medical claim. See, because I've got some things to say. I thought that dude was a hero. Now, I'm not gonna sit up here, audience, and say that people should be going out here and killing CEOs. That's not what I'm saying. I keep my killing to the video games. However, bruh, that guy right there, I think he sent a message to corporate greed and these CEOs that make $30 and $50 million a year and they got all these homes all over the world that they live these extravagant lives. Meanwhile, their employees suffer, can barely take care of themselves and their families that are in debt. You have people in these companies that are being laid off. Like, bro, one of my friends told me at his company, they just laid off 100 people a week after Thanksgiving. The
That's
CEO just
fucked
got a
up.
30, but the CEO just got a $33 million bonus.
Wow.
I hope he's keeping his head on the swivel. See, this is the thing, man. The shit was wild, DJ, but you got people in this world right now that they like, listen, nobody's gonna do anything about these injustices that are going on. So I'm gonna take matters into my own hands. And that's when shit gets fucking deep and it gets dangerous out here. Because when that man set up here and he did that shit at 6 in the morning, how did he know dude was gonna be pulling up like that?
Yeah.
So my whole thing is, is wicked because he knew that that dude was going to be speaking at that conference. So he was literally waiting for him and waiting for him and waiting and capped his ass. And then when I look at Brian Thompson, I'm seeing stuff about the fact that he had a little criminal record here. I'm seeing how he opposed certain different things that were going on in the healthcare space. And then I'm also seeing that UnitedHealthcare Group, DJ, from what I'm seeing, they deny a lot of claims. But I'm like, Brian Thompson lived a really comfortable life. Very comfortable life. Now, I don't want people to sit up here and think that I'm over here wishing death on anybody because I don't want death on people. But I do want people in this world to realize that if you're making your money by stepping on others, well, sometimes those people are gonna get up.
I mean, like you said, not wishing death, but that's one of those things where this definitely did bring to light the bigger issue of healthcare. And like you said, this man living comfortably while you, I mean, we all know how the healthcare system works. It has its ugly parts. Like you said, denied claims and all this stuff going on, and he's just sitting there chilling. I mean, now obviously that is not the way that should have happened, clearly. I think we can be in agreement that I'm not saying what he did was right. But I'm just saying, if y'all gonna just not do nothing, the brother took matters in his own hands. Not the right decision, but it was a decision. Like I just honestly, it really is a telltale sign that like we need to fix some stuff. And it sucks that that's the way that we have to now have this conversation. But that seems like no one else wanted to listen before, so like that guy made sure everybody gonna listen now.
And they will. And they will. I think what a lot of times what comes from tragedy, DJ, is conversation. But I wish that situations wouldn't have to get to this. It's the same thing that happened with George Floyd. The
I was just
conversation we
thinking
had
that.
around social justice didn't happen until a man had to be knelt on for nearly 9 minutes. And guess what? We're still no further along than we were in that moment. In fact, DJ, I'd argue with you that we've taken steps back since that incident happened.
And you'd be right.
So when I look at this situation here with Brian Thompson, yeah, I'm sorry. Rest in peace to you on that. But you represent a lot that is what's wrong with this country. And what I'm saying by that is, I'm not somebody that sits here and I'm not jealous of people that have. I don't have an issue with that. But for me, DJ, I was brought up with raised with morals and a code. Now, when I have gone wayward, I've had to check myself. I had to look at myself in the mirror and remember who the fuck I was. I've left companies and when I was in corporate, when they were pushing things on customers that I didn't agree with. Because for me, all money's not good money. And I tell that to people around me that's over here chasing the bag. And I'm sitting here like, y'all look miserable as fuck. And it's my thing is though, DJ, is that you got a lot of people in this world right now that they're just thinking, like, man, I'm gonna go get it because if I don't do it, somebody else gonna do it. I'm like, good for you and good for them both. Cause that ain't me. Because I remember going to bed hungry when I was a kid. I was happy. So I'm not gonna be cashing some checks and people are dying like Brian Thompson was doing. Literally, people were dying while the company that you're ahead of is denying claims. I was looking at the letters of people that they were posting on social media where they were sending to him directly. You denied my mother's claim. She's in cancer. She can't get cancer treatment. We can't afford for her to have treatment. My mother's gonna die if you guys don't reverse the decision. Then they send the next letter. My mother died 7 months later because you guys did not respond to me. You guys did not change your decision. I made countless phone calls, on and on. Letters from multiple people about claims that are being denied.
That's sick.
So people won't sit here and they want me to be sad about some rich dude that got laid out on the streets. Guess what? What did Malcolm X say? It's going to be a controversial take and I don't care. You guys look up that quote. That's what happened to Brian Thompson. And I hope it's a wake-up call to other people out here in the world that live a life of greed and gluttony. There's people out here struggling, struggling. The other day, I'm driving through Chicago, and I'm like, this was not like this when I was a kid, right? We had people that were homeless, but they had somewhere to go. They had shelters, they had places to go. We're in such a fucked up country now where they've closed shelters, they've closed mental health facilities. But if people want to know, well, why are people getting robbed? Why is all this bullshit going on? It's because people that at one point had resources and help no longer have help. But see, people aren't having those type of conversations. People aren't talking about those type of things. As I say, people worry about the wrong things, DJ.
Yep, we say that all the time on this. We say it all the time. I'll be honest though about Thompson. I don't know how you could live like that. Like, how could you live knowing that, like, you, in a sense, are like at fault for people dying? Like, how can you just sleep? How can you sleep at night? I don't get it.
Well, see, you were raised the right way, but some people, bro,
Fair.
again, for them, it's, oh, I'm making money. I'm the CEO. My job is to increase profits. My job is to make sure that the stock price is going up. And if we're paying out all these claims, then the stock price is going down and we're not profitable, right? You know, but it's that capitalist idea that I know that that's a lot of what this country was founded on. But a lot of it, man, it just really disgusts me, DJ.
It is really disgusting.
And this is coming
Disgusting.
from people here. You and I both are entrepreneurs, but it still disgusts me, bro. And that's why I really try to what I'm doing. I try to do things that's impactful, man, because I know that, like, bro, this capitalist game is fucking, it's nasty. It's nasty work.
Yes, indeed. I mean, for me, like you said, an entrepreneur, someone who's like starting their own thing. I've always thought of like where can I give back? Where can I, because like you said, I don't like the idea of just sitting on top alone. I don't like success being enjoyed alone. Clearly, he's perfectly fine with it. And I don't know how, but like you said, I guess for me, and the way I was raised is like my dad always said, push-ups and pull-ups. Some people need to get pushed up, some people need to get pulled up. And I really don't, I just in a way where he that man really had the ability to accept claims and help these people and in a sense save their lives, like some of those letters you were pointing out. And he just didn't. Like I it, like you said, I'm not wishing death on nobody, but it's hard to sit here and feel like sad for the man. It's hard. I wish death on
Yeah.
nobody. I make that very clear. Don't wish death on nobody. But it's really hard to sit here and be like, I can't believe how tragic. It's hard. Like the man
Yeah.
sitting there on top of all that money while people dying.
This is my thing that I hope it's a wake-up call for the other CEOs because they over here, they was when that morning that that happened. Let me just say, okay, I got two things, audience. Bear with me real quick. First of all, Brian Thompson was going that day when he was murdered. He was going to speak at a conference. Do you guys think that that conference that he was going to speak to, they canceled that conference after they heard the word that he got killed like that?
No.
They did not. It was business as fucking usual. That is what I'm talking about. How can you just go on and just be like, oh, well, one of our keynotes just got murdered outside of the hotel, but hey, we're gonna go along because you know, one monkey don't stop no show. See, that's the sick world that we're in, DJ. For me, I'd have been sitting up in that room like, are we safe?
Well, here's the craziest part. I bet you $10 they didn't even say he got murdered. They're probably like, oh, he's unavailable and won't be appearing today.
Oh,
And just kept on like nothing happened.
no, that thing was all over the news. They saw what was going on.
I
I
don't.
mean, I wouldn't put it past them. Cause there's some people out here that's telling me they're like, bro, they're like, Priz. I don't even think that the guy that they set up here and they found was the guy that did it. I'm like, well, we'll see. But you know, it sounded like he had a manifesto and the same weapon on him, and they have fingerprints to identify him and all this other kind of stuff. But I'm not even gonna use that guy's name because I'm like, look, I don't know if he's the guy. And honestly, it don't really matter to me because I feel like he set the tone for a lot of things, and hopefully, there's some changes gonna be coming in this healthcare industry, and also hope. And I didn't want to talk about this too much on this episode, but I think with the change in leadership that we're going to have in this country, hope some people realize that, like, hey, there's consequences to these decisions that you make out here in these streets now. And people are fed up. You know what I mean, DJ?
Yep, tell them consequences of your actions.
And also, that McDonald's worker, you go to hell.
I
Hope you don't get, I hope you don't see a penny of that money. All you had to do was just fucking put the fries in the bag and keep it moving.
He said, "All you had to do.
One
Do
job.
you right. You have one job. Just the one. Just the one.
Just the one. Yeah. Salt, bag, out the door.
Have a
But
nice day."
no, yeah, you gotta be a good Samaritan. Yeah, all right. Yeah, all right. Good job. Slow clap for you.
Nah, he said, just put the fries in the bag. That was funny. I can't lie.
You know how we do. Speaking of slow clap, Drake lawsuit. Now, DJ, on the last show, I think I might have miscategorized you as a Drake stan, right?
Yes. Okay. I have to explain this because I thought about it after and I was like, wait a minute. I want people to get the wrong idea. When it came to the original part of this beef, I realized that as a kid who just listened to whatever's on the radio, because I listen to old school music primarily. We've joked about Will Smith before. I remember we did that with one of our episodes. I know that I remember hearing more Drake songs as a kid than Kendrick Lamar. I didn't really find Kendrick Lamar till the Black Panther soundtrack and the song All Right. So I knew less about Kendrick's music than Drake's. So when it was like, well, who do you think's gonna win? I was like, well, I know more of Drake's music, so I just assumed Drake was gonna win. But in all reality, I listen to old school music. So I just want to say I have no real hard emotional ties to anybody in this rap beef. So I am just, if you like pick an artist, I probably pick Drake because it's like I just know more of his music. Also, in the 2010s coming up, growing up, he was actually he was popular. By the time Kendrick, like it came to me, I have an iPhone and I can listen to whatever I want now. So I'm bumping Run DMC and all the music I like listening to, Kumo D or whoever, which I know you're like, why? But that's a whole nother conversation for another day, I
No, I'm
figure.
not saying that. I said why about Will Smith. Those are legends
Okay,
from the game.
you know what? I give you Will. I know that's one getting jiggy with it. I know that's one. He's like, what? Yeah, I give you Will. Every time I say my top rappers, I'm always like Run DMC, Kumo D, the Sugar Hill Gang, like Heavy D is up there for me. And then I'm like, Kid and Play, MC Hammer, and the Will Smith. And every time someone's like Will, I'm like, yeah, I know. It's a little wild. I know. Just hear me out. Like every time.
I just wanted to make sure because I know people were kind of in the comments. They were like, how could DJ really be a Drake fan after what happened and this and that? And I was like, yeah, I think I might need to give DJ a chance to kind of speak to that. So that's why I wanted to make sure you
Yeah,
did
because
that.
I was like, not really a Drake fan. I just know his music more. All this happening, this is something different. Because I'm just like, all the stuff that's come out now and the songs and everything, I'm just like, yeah, I have no ties to that man for that. Like, I knew a couple of his songs. I just knew as a kid that I was cool with. Also, I know one of them was one of the songs Lil Wayne was on. And there's like four, I think it was him and like Rick Ross, and they're all on it together. Like, that's why I'm like, I knew Drake, but it was like, I don't have no real actual ties to like what he did and nothing. So I'm not like picking sides in this. Like I got off that train after the first month of this beat.
I need, man. You don't sign with pedophiles. That's good because then I can keep you on the show.
Mm.
But this lawsuit, man, what you thinking about this one here, man? Because I made my comments about Drake being a little light-skinned on the last episode. And we didn't get a chance to talk about this lawsuit, but I'm sitting here thinking, like, okay, I see what Drake doing, moving the goalposts. But what was your situation on this one?
See, now, and this is funny because me and Pops had a conversation about this because he was like, my Pops is full blown like, that's a bitch move. And I was like, all right. I was like,
Oh.
oh, I was like, I mean, I can't disagree because like, filing lawsuits being like, it's not because he basically, my dad said he did the literal definition of telling the teacher, like, teacher, he touched me. Like, that's basically what he did. Like, it was kind of wild. Like, he hit me. That's basically what he did. And I'm like, yeah, it is a little wild. But I can't sit here and not lie when he's like, oh, like, it's hurting his character. Yeah, it's pretty much wrecked him. I mean, I can't lie. I put it like this. Now, clearly, he did what he did, or whatever you think. But however you feel about it, it has ruined his character. And I know that because this man, Kendrick Lamar, managed to make a hit song calling this man a pedophile. There's no way your character is improving from that. So it's like, as much as I'm like, that's a weird place to take it from the music sheets to court, it is a little wild. And I'm like, all right, that is kind of crazy. But I'm like, now I don't think to me the whole they allegedly made more hits or added people streams and listens or whatever. I'm like, that sounds a little stupid because that song was everywhere. I mean, like I said, I listen to music like that. One of my best friends, I mention him sometimes. He's a movie guy. This man's type of person, his ringtone's a Spider-Man theme from the original Spider-Man movie, Tobey Maguire. And he was singing it. I said, the fact that he knows it, that's how you know the song is hit everywhere. I'm like, well, how do you know this? Like, nah, like, no shade to my boy, but I'm just like, yeah, this is a hit song. So, like, the whole alleged, like, they boosted the streams and numbers. I think that's a lie, personally. But him kind of being mad that his character is kind of, you know, taking a hit and he's trying to sue him for it, I can't be mad because your character's definitely taking a hit. I don't think you'll win the lawsuit because I'm like, it's a little stupid to be like, this ain't fair that I lost this rap beef, which is basically what he's doing. But I was like, yeah, it's definitely killed his character. I was like, I can't lie. At this point, anytime he's anywhere he goes, people are probably thinking about that stuff. I mean, he got so salty when DeMar DeRozan ended up in Kendrick Lamar video, he trying to be mad at DeMar DeRozan, like in Toronto. Like, what are we doing? That's how you know he's just being a sore loser right now. It's really what he's being. Like, I
Yeah,
can't
he
lie.
really is.
Like
He really is.
like my dad said it, and I was like, oh, he's like, and my dad said it, and I was like, all right. I mean, you know, I was like, per the streets, like definitely, probably that's how they're gonna categorize it. But I was like, yeah, he's being a sore loser, and I mean, that is a logical sore loser kind of step to take. I can't like. I mean, if he, I look, I'm not gonna sit here and be like, "How? I can't believe he did that." Like, yeah, he's trying to get some money now, cause off that record. Cause I mean, in a way, in a weird way, Kendrick pretty much profited off of calling this man a pedophile. So like, I can kind of see the logical step that he's trying to take. I don't agree with it. Let's make that clear. But I can see what he's trying to do. I think it's a little stupid, but I'm just like, yeah. I mean, his character's ruined. He's trying to get some money for it, like.
I feel like Drake did that to himself because Pusha T exposed you for being a poor father and a terrible man
Well,
because
yeah.
you're hiding you because you hid a child to the world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That to
Well,
me, that's the most despicable thing that you could do. Obviously, the pedophile shit is worse, but you know what I
yeah.
mean? Like you denying your kid, bro.
Oh, yeah. I mean, oh, yeah. Like you said, above all else, it can't roast you for things you didn't do. Like, you did the
Yeah.
things they're talking about. At the end of the day, it's definitely his fault for doing the things that he's now getting talked about for doing. Easily. Like, that's why I'm like, don't get it twisted. Like, I have no attachments to that man or nothing. Like, he did what he did, and now hey, karma sucks, as they say. Like, what can you do? I mean, but.
And this is my thing, real quick on this DJ. He sit up here trying to act like Spotify and iHeartRadio conspired against him to inflate the numbers and shit for the song.
That'll make no sense.
I can personally tell anybody that's listening to this show that I've listened to They Not Like Us probably about 100,000 times myself.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, when I tell you that I saw people playing it at weddings, I mean, I forget where I was at, and someone just played the beat. And like, I'm like, what is going on? Like, when I tell you everywhere, I was like, I remember being on vacation with my friend. It was on the radio. Like, it was everywhere. You cannot run it.
You cannot run that song. Nah, bro. I'm talking about over the summer, there was no outrunning that song. I remember being
No.
at a bar, and you know how like they'll occasionally put some songs on over the speakers. That beat came on and they played that shit not one time, but five different times, and people kept acting like it was the first time they heard it. That's what that song did to people.
No,
So
literally.
my whole thing with Drake is I'm disappointed in him for a lot of reasons, but I'm gonna keep it to this lawsuit. Rap beef for me should never leave wax. It should stay there. It should have spilled to the streets. It should have spilled into violence. It shouldn't go into weird scenarios. And it definitely should not end up in a courtroom.
And that's where I'm like, Like, he's being a sore loser, and that's like he's being a sore loser. Because that's the part where I was like, yeah, I can't, I'm not like you bringing this elsewhere. Once again, and no matter who threw the first shot, you engaged. You see, J. Cole dipped up out of there before it got crazy. Let's all never forget that. J. Cole was like, you know what? I'm not even doing this mess. And J. Cole got up out of Dodge and is minding his business.
And he was smart. He
Yeah,
knew what was coming.
he
He knew what was
knew,
coming.
he
He knew what was
knew,
coming.
he knew. And that's the thing where I'm like, you can't be mad now that you've engaged in the fight and lost. You can't. And now when you're trying to take it other places, it's kind of whack. And that's why my dad said what he said. He's not wrong. Like, it was kind of wild that you take it and try to sue people and get mad and be a sore loser. Because that's really, at the end of the day, that's really what he's being.
Well, let's just call it what it is. He lost in the court of public opinion. Now he thinks DJ filing a lawsuit in Texas, a conservative state, I will tell you. He thinks that he's gonna have a chance. He's thinking that this might be a battle that he can win. Even if you do win this lawsuit, even if you do, you're not gonna feel good about that because that's not a victory. Because in the rap game, the true victories are the ones that happen over wax. And we know how that shit went for him.
Yes, very much so.
So this shit, what he's doing right here, man, man, man. I'm telling you, bro, this is gonna be unprecedented because now it's gonna be a situation where people are gonna be, they're gonna be real careful what they say about people on tracks now because of
Yeah,
Drake.
because anybody can now just go sue for defamation of character. Even though, like I said, at the end of the day, I feel like he can't be mad. It's kind of stupid because I'm like, you did what you did. Like, but that's why I said, like, when he sued him, I'm like, I can't. Like, logically, like, he definitely did kill your character. Like, the lawsuit itself is kind of, it's like, has some logic behind it. I still think he was whack for making the lawsuit to begin with. That makes sense.
Yeah, he just showing you that he was the kid from Degrassi. That's all we're saying.
Not Degrassi. That's crazy work.
Let's switch it up, man. I want to talk to you a little bit about this Heisman Trophy battle, man. I mean, this college football season, it's been interesting, right? We haven't had the traditional Bama. We haven't had the traditional Michigan and the traditional Ohio State. There's been a lot of like new blood that's been kind of been added to the mix. We got the new college football format coming in here, but we also got a little bit of a tight race here, I would think, when it comes to the Heisman Trophy race, right? You got three candidates that people are kind of primarily talking about: Travis Hunter, Ashton Jante, and also Dylan Gabriel. So DJ, I'm going to give you the floor because there's people that were hitting us up and they were like, hey, is there any universe where Travis Hunter does not win the Heisman Trophy?
I'm gonna say this. There shouldn't be. You say it's a tight race. In the most respectful way, it should not be a tight race. I am sorry. A, Dylan Gabriel, I don't care if you're number one in the country, Oregon. Get up out of here. It's not, if anything, it's a two-person race. I'm sorry. No disrespect to Dylan Gabriel. But at the same time, no. I'm just no, there's no quarterback that should be in this conversation. I don't care. Dylan Gabriel, to me, no. Cam Ward and Milroe ruined their cases when they were losing to unranked teams or whatever. Like, they're not even in the playoff no more.
They
No.
don't even need to be
No.
brought up.
Like,
Okay.
no. No. Respectfully, it's a two-person race, but in my world, there's no reason why Travis Hunter shouldn't win it. The reason why I say this, and I know someone is probably going to hear this and get mad, I cannot take Ashton Jeanty winning the Heisman too seriously when you are running against the Mountain West Conference. I am sorry. I am sorry. You are not at a power school. Look. Now, I'll be honest. I'm gonna admit my own little shred of bias here. This is the best rushing season we've seen since Derrick Henry. As
Oh,
someone
yeah.
who jokingly called himself Derrick Henry's number one subject, I'm sorry. You put my king in the Mountain West, and he's breaking Barry Sanders' record in 10 games. If you got mad at me, I stand on business with that one. I am sorry.
Yeah.
I really can't take Ashton Jeanty. Like, I hope he breaks the record when they play. I hope he gets that 132 yards. All records are meant to be broken. I'm not nothing against the kid. Nothing against him. I bet he's going to the NFL. And I hope he does great. But I'm sorry. You winning the Heisman, I can't take it seriously when you're running against San Jose State. I'm sorry. I just cannot. I just can't. I can't buy it. And especially when you think about it, like you said, running. Like, we've seen other good running backs. This is very unprecedented what Travis Hunter's doing. This man is literally top five as a receiver and a corner at the same time. Like, literally, he's gonna get drafted, be a team's number one or two cornerback, and then be a slot receiver. I did a video and I was talking to my friend about this, my old college roommate, because he's in journalism too. And we were talking about this. And I was like, he's a Panthers fan. And I was like, yo, if you get him, you slide him right in the slot. He's your receiver number three in the slot behind Leggett and Coker, and he's your number one corner. I was like, he comes to New England. I was like, we put him on the outside, we put DeMario Douglas in the slot, Kendrick Bourne on the outside, and he's our number one corner on the other side of the ball. That's just unprecedented. And of course, with stats, it's like people are gonna be like, well, snaps aren't a stat. Yeah, but when have we seen anybody play that many snaps and actually play that well on both sides of the ball while playing that much? I'm just like, come on, guys. He's literally on one side, like, he literally won Defense Player of the Year in the Big 12. Like, while also being like the number one receiver on a team. Like, and as much as Colorado didn't make it, they almost did. Like, this. A legit playoff, like college football playoff contending team in the Pac-12. I mean, in the Big 12. Like, come on. To me, it's almost like, I don't want to say near unanimous, but to me, it feels like it's got to be Hunter. I'm sorry, Jeanty. I know, like, look, credit to him for what he's doing, but I just Like, he's only played two ranked teams the whole season. You played UNLV, who you ran all over, who's also in the Mountain West, and the only time you play like a big team would be Oregon. Also, no disrespect, but if you're like I said, like with Derrick Henry, even when he does it, if you get 30 something carries, you ought to have at least 100 something yards. No disrespect, but like unless your offensive line is complete terrible and like blocks like Swiss cheese and got all type of holes, you get 30, 40 carries, you better have at least 130. So I feel like the Genty thing we've seen before, this Travis Hunter thing, I feel like we ain't seen nothing like this. Now I know there's other people who've like caught touchdowns or whatever, but like at the he's playing like consistently on both sides, and I feel like that's something I have never seen in my life and needs to be rewarded.
Yeah, I mean, we have seen it. We've seen Deion do it to a degree. We've seen Charles Woodson do it to a degree.
I mean,
But what Travis Hunter is doing, I agree. It's unprecedented. I think though, I don't want to discount what Ginty's doing because even though it is against Mountain West competition, he's still a bad motherfucker. He's gonna be a
oh,
first round draft.
as much as I'm being hardcore, don't get it twisted. He is that is a bad
But
man
I
with
just
Jamma.
but I want to just make sure that we don't discount that man because of the conference that he's playing in. But what I will say is, what Travis Hunter is doing is exceptional. And I had a conversation with somebody in the media room at a football game recently, and they were like, "So are we just rewarding Heisman trophies based on snap counts now?" I said, "Whoa, that's a lazy narrative." I
No,
said,
literally.
"This dude's over 1,000 yards, or I think over 1,100 yards receiving, which I don't get all into the stats, but in this situation, I think it's worth bringing that up. 14 touchdowns. And then on defense, bro, he shut down his side of the field. And I don't know what he's going to do when it comes to the NFL level because it's obviously not sustainable that he's going to be able to do this. But what he's been able to do in college, the stamina that he's been able to play and compete with, bro, and the production that we see on the field, we probably won't see anything like this in college football ever again, bro. And that's the way that I see it.
But that's why, like, as much as I am picking my sides, like, I'll admit, like, the way I pick it, I am like shading Genty a bit. I do want to say, like, I think he needs to go to the Cowboys in the first round because Dallas needs a running back. Like,
They
obviously,
did a lot.
who's in charge there? So that team's always gonna suck till he gone. But you know, anyway, I just to me the not I feel like it's the kind of thing where I'll say to my brother, I was like, it's almost like if someone. Like, was they're like, oh, he's the best scorer, but he's in the G League. Like, I don't know. It doesn't feel the same to me. I feel like you can't, you know, like, I feel like if someone at Howard was doing this, we wouldn't be taking it as seriously as, you know what I mean? Like, I just, as much as it sucks to be like, oh, well, you play who's in front of you. So that's why I'm like, he deserves respect. He deserves to be a first round pick. But when it comes to now giving out awards, I'm just like, I can't give it to you. I just can't. And I know that's probably a hot take, but I just, for me, I can't give it to you when you're not running. We're not running against in the Power Five. I mean, they literally said, I saw a stat the other day, and it was like the last time someone non-Power Five or Notre Dame won a Heisman. And it, you know, it was one of those stats where it was like, since 19, whatever, and like before Jim Crow was still a thing. So I'm like, I can't, come on now. I'm sorry. I was like, I can't take it seriously. If he'd have beat Barry Sanders' record in the same amount of games, I might have really been like, okay, nah, he's like, this is different. But like, I hope he breaks the record and like he deserves his flowers. But when it comes to now winning, you know, basically the greatest awards you can get in college football, I can't. I feel like this. In a world where Travis Hunter doesn't exist, he's my Heisman. But Travis Hunter's here, so I can't give it
My only beef with Travis Hunter is his girlfriend. He needs to cut loose of the
to
baggage. That's it.
him.
He's winning on the field, but off the field, bro, you are taking L's, bro. You out here with this girl on his senior day, audience. This man sitting over here trying to comfort her. She upset about something. I'm looking at they show and panning her. He's scoring touchdowns. She's sitting in the damn stands on her phone, pouting and doing whatever the hell she's doing. And then after the game, listen, your man is pretty much poised to be the front runner of the Heisman Trophy. It's his senior day. This is a big deal. And he's sitting over here trying to reassure you about something, which says a lot about Travis. And it also
Yeah.
says a lot about you.
Yeah, that was wicked. I did see that, and I was like, "What are we doing?" It's that moment where I'm like, "To me, and I maybe once again just the way I was raised, but keep that shit in house. Like,
Thank you.
don't be on national television, pouting and shrugging away." He's like, "I remember. I think one of the videos I saw. He's trying to get her kiss, and he's like, she's dodging him. I'm like, nah, don't do that to the man on national
She turned
television."
She turned, you know, the cameras is on him every time he's
Yes.
doing something. She turned her face. I'm sitting up here like, this motherfucker here.
No, literally, because now all you're doing is giving the boy bad PR and controversy that he don't need.
He don't need that. No, he don't need you either.
Yeah,
Trust me, Shorty. You a solid six on a good day. You know what? She had the nerve. I saw something where she talked about when Travis tried to holler at her. She was like, "Oh, I wasn't really that interested. I didn't think he was cute, but he grew on me." And I'm sitting up here like, "Yeah, you saw them dollars."
I'm glad you said it because I was thinking the same thing. I said, I know what she saw. She's green.
That makes me so sick, man. Because he seems like literally, man. Whenever I see him, and you don't know people beyond the cameras. Whenever I see him, man, he seems like a genuine cat. I love that he's like Deion Sanders, like unofficial son. I love that for him. But I wish that Deion would like pull him to the side and was like, "Hey, man, if you're gonna do this with Shorty, prenup, figure it out." because it ain't a good look. But
Yeah, I hope.
you know, with
I
all.
say this. I hope Dion tell him when it comes to people, sometimes it must be the money.
Straight up. I love how Shiloh be getting him with that. Shiloh be hitting that it must be the money shit on him. Shiloh's probably like one of my favorite people on the internet, man. He is hilarious,
No, he
bro.
be cracking me
Hilarious.
up. No, that or do you see that? What show was it that he appeared in and he played
He's on
Dion?
BMF.
BMF, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was meth. Like when he has the impressions going, yo, he be cracking me up with that.
No, he's lit. He's lit. I love Shiloh. Speaking of somebody that ain't lit. Jay-Z right now, bro. Now let me just tell you this.
Sheesh.
Everybody that knows me, they know that I've been waiting. I've been waiting for the Jay-Z news to kind of pop. Because I sit up here like that a lawsuit that was originally named against Diddy, which Diddy gonna take everybody down with him, but the person also named Jay, a 13-year-old girl was raped by Diddy and Jay-Z. And they also said some other little chick that was with them, unnamed. Watched up. Now, what kind of fucking woman is that that's gonna sit here and be in a room where a child is being freaking raped and you just watch it on? See, that's Hollywood shit is fucking sick to me.
You ain't kidding.
Because Jay-Z was real quick to put out his thing that he had nothing to do with that. Meanwhile, Jay-Z, you still ain't never responded to Tupac. See, Jay-Z be all like, "Oh, I don't have to respond. I'm Jay-Z." Responded to that shit quick.
Yeah.
There's always three sides to a story. Oh, did you hear me right? Three sides to a story. But when I hear his name attached to something like this, it turned my stomach upside down. Now, DJ, I'm coming to you on this one, man, because this is something that Jay-Z is trying to say that was an extortion attempt. But who wouldn't say that if they're in this situation because they're trying to get out of a situation where their livelihood is at stake.
I was thinking, yeah, there's no other answer you have except extortion. But the way I found out about this had to be the wildest way ever. I was watching Sunday Night Football, just sitting there, you know, on Sundays, I'm just watching football. Man, first, the Chiefs sneak away again on some more BS. We're not gonna talk about it. The news come across in the first headline.
The luckiest team in the league, but go
You
ahead.
ain't kidding. Oh, goodness. But yo, then the 8 o'clock news comes scrolling on by, and out of nowhere, I'm just laying there, and they're like, Jay's in, it just comes across, and I was like, huh? And my dad goes, Jigga, what? Which I secretly was the funniest thing ever. Cause I was like, you're cooked for that. Like, but then we were out there just really just taking it all in, and I was just like, oh wow. And then the moment they said Diddy, I said, oh, this is bad immediately. Cause first thing you said, first thought I had, Diddy said, if I'm going down, y'all come with me. Clearly. At this point, he must be snitching. Like, I'm always like,
Yeah.
that way's.
Well, this is the thing though. Somebody probably approached, that one because she's the only one. There's a bunch of them now that are coming out filing these suits against Diddy, saying that he assaulted them and did all these things to him. And what I will say is, it's gonna be just like how it was with the Deshaun Watson situation. You're gonna get a bunch of these lawsuits that are gonna all pile up against him. Anybody and everybody that was associated with Diddy, they're fucked.
Oh yeah,
And
they're all going down.
I look at this situation with Jay-Z. I just been waiting for his name to get caught up in some bullshit. Every time when I see him on TV, I'm just like, Jay, it's only a matter of time before they come for you. They got Bill, they got Kells, they
No,
got
right.
Diddy. It's only a matter of time. They even got your boy Jonathan Majors.
They getting everybody. I tell you this, I jokingly, first thing I said, I was like, yep, by 2050, anything pre-2000 is gonna be in some way taken away because somebody did something. I said, at the rate we
Dude,
going, everybody getting caught. I said.
anybody that you at some point was like, oh, that was my, they're gonna get taken down.
Yep.
Everybody. Everybody.
It's not if, it's when. Also, 13-year-old, that really did turn my stomach, though. I was like, ooh.
Also, I was reading the story about how the 13-year-old in the lawsuit says that she had a friend drop her off at the VMAs. She had no ride back, and she was just going up to limos asking to get invited into the party.
Where are your parents?
And one of the limo drivers was like, "Oh, well, I drive for Puffy. You might just be his type. Come back over here later, and then there's a party you can get to." And that's supposedly how the whole thing happened, when she went to this party with Puffy and Jay-Z and this unnamed woman, and then that's where the situation happened. So my thing is, to the point where you said, yes, DJ, where were the parents? But then also my other point is, what was she on? You 13 years old. Why are you out at this type of, like, I just don't get that type of shit. I'm not victim blaming. I don't want anybody that's listening to, like, prayers, you victim blaming. I'm not victim blaming. Because Jay-Z and Diddy, if they did this shit, they are disgusting human beings. Fuck that. But what I'm also saying is, what are we doing putting ourselves in situations like this? I don't understand that. If that were my daughter, if that were my sister, I would be furious with them. Like, what are you doing? You want to go to a party that bad? That you would put yourself in danger like that? And it's probably women that listen to this show thinking, like, prayers, well, I wanted to go to such and such party, All-Star Weekend, when they was in Chicago. I was looking at all these girls, they were trying to jump in these damn cars with people they ain't know nothing about. I'm like, how the hell you know that person ain't gonna take you somewhere and beat you over your goddamn head?
I don't get it.
They don't think twice.
Honestly, this is that Neverland Ranch shit all over again. Where are the parents? I admit I can never understand when these children do these things. Where are your parents? Who? You're
The
13.
Neverland parents, they was in Neverland in another damn room.
What is up with y'all? I don't get it. And like you said, I'm not trying to victim blame. I'm not trying to victim blame. But like you said, putting yourself in danger. I don't get it. I don't
No,
get it. Like,
I don't get it at all, bro.
in what world was you run up to people's limos just trying to jump in was gonna end well? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
And on top of it, I see that she signed a non-disclosure, before she even went into whatever home that this party was going to be at. So I'm sitting up here like, I'm not going somewhere with somebody giving me some document to sign. I'm
Right.
always like that. I'm like, wait a minute, I don't need to be going here then if I got to sign something. Well, I'm cool on that.
Literally.
Because I've been noticing that more and more nowadays, you go places for like tours and stuff, and they want you to sign stuff. I'm like, no, I ain't taking no tour, and I'm signing away any rights to anything. And something happens to me, and then you gonna have to be liable because I signed it away. No, I'm good. Give me my refund. No, I'm not doing that. But back to this situation though, DJ, it's sick. Just reading through the lawsuit of what was accused, and also when you look at the situation with Jay-Z, he has a fucking daughter. And if he did this shit, God forbid something like this ever happens to your daughter. See, people don't be thinking about that shit, man, DJ. I could tell you that there was a time in my life, man, I did not make good decisions when it came to women. But the older you get, man, you start to realize, like, wait a minute, I wouldn't want anybody to do that shit to my child, my sister. So maybe I shouldn't do that to somebody else's child or sister. And I think there's more people in this world. You got to start thinking like that. You got to start doing things with integrity, with morals, and just be a good person. I have a story about, like, being around somebody that was extremely intoculated. I used to work at Career Builder many months ago. I was a senior manager, and we were in Puerto Rico. And my brother, I brought him as my guest, and one of my employees, I mean, of course, you're in one of these fucking five-star resorts. It's all inclusive. The company is paying for everything, you want to drink. So we were all loaded. So one of my employees, she fucking got lit and passed out in my room. I luckily, because my brother was sharing a room with me, I had a double bed. Me and my brother, shit, we was like, hey, back to where we was in kids. I'll sleep at the head of the bed, you sleep at the foot of the bed. We let her stay, sleep that shit off. The next morning, I wake up, she gone. No harm, no foul, right? The next day at breakfast, she comes up to me and whispers, oh my God, I didn't realize like how much I had to drink. Thank you so much. Now, this was back in the early 2000s when this incident happened. Now, mind you, that could have been really fucking bad for her if she'd have been around some fucking dudes that were goons. Just think about that. Because there's a lot of them out here. It was a lot of them like that that I worked with at that damn company. That's why they had a lawsuit against them. There was some crazy shit happening out there in them career building streets. But the point I'm trying to make to you is that you gotta start looking at people and just thinking like, man, if my daughter, my sister, my wife, if she had too much to drink, wouldn't I want somebody to be responsible around her and just make sure that she was good? Like, why do some people in a moment like that when somebody's not in their best version of themselves, the first thing they do and they're thinking about their dick and they're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna fuck this person. That's sick.
Very, very sick.
And like I said, if he did this shit, man, I hope they fucking throw the book at him. Cause I don't agree with this shit. Fuck rap. What are we saying? Deep in the rap.
Yeah, at the end of the day, this is I almost like hope it's not true, because that's just such a disgusting thing to do if it is. And like you said, they better throw the book at him if he did it.
So I remember when Solange beat his ass in that elevator shit. If Hove get up in prison, boy, shoo-hoo-hoo. Oh man, Hove, ew. Ooh. See, Diddy probably loving it. Like, and I ain't gonna say no crazy shit. All this, but all I can say is Diddy's loving it in prison right now. That's all I can say.
Oh, wow, we went there.
And well, listen, I didn't think that Walmart was gonna get rid of DEI, but here we are, right? So you know.
Sheesh, talk about it.
And you know what? They ain't the only companies. And John Deere, I mean, well,
Yeah, the
not
last three.
too.
Harley Davidson, Ford. I mean, yeah, come on. That's a
Yeah,
little.
John Deere, probably
Yeah,
not too.
come
Well, shit. But now that we think about it, Walmart
on.
too.
Yeah, fair.
But
I just know in my brain, the other three, I do not equate to our target audience, if you know what I mean. But Walmart, it's like everybody shop at Walmart. Like,
yeah, but see, they just want our money. They don't care about us.
you right. You right. Fair point. Touche.
And also, too, I looked at their executive leadership team before we jumped on here, and I was like, yeah, they definitely don't care about us. Boy, that shit, like, you know, you probably asked your dad about this. You said that he went to like a school that was predominantly white. I bet when he was going up, when he was coming up at that school, when he would go by the hallways, you know how they had the pictures of like the classes before him?
Oh
It
yeah.
probably wasn't nothing but white faces. That's what
Oh.
that damn Walmart team looked like.
Look, I tell you this. I went to his high school reunion one year with him. I saw it myself on the walls and I was like, yeesh. I saw his high school yearbook. It was like, there's only about five y'all. I said, God, goodness gracious. Like, so yeah, it was one of them. Well, that's rough. When you just got the just the all, oh my. So yeah, I guess that's a fair point though. I don't know. It is wild this whole DEI thing getting stripped back. I mean, granted, at the same time, given what's transpired the last couple of weeks in politics, can't act like I didn't see it coming. But it's still like, oh, here we go. It's already happening.
Yeah, which is the sad part, right? Because over the years, right, I've had people like, you know, when I was in college, you know, we had the affirmative action conversations that people are having. And for some reason along the way, DJ, people have equated black success to people having handouts, DEI, and all these other type of things. And my thing is opportunity
Right.
because the trust fund kids, the kids that have the generational wealth, the kids that when somebody dies in their family, somebody leaves them a shit ton of money, nobody looks down on those people. But you're gonna look down on somebody that may have gotten a job because the company is deciding to finally in history to realize that maybe somebody outside of one race of people deserves a look for a job. And it's almost sickening that companies even had to even put that shit in place anyway. See, that's what people
Right?
need to realize. That had to be put in place because you guys were not hiring us. And it pisses me off, DJ, because people will sit here and they'll try to say, oh, well, I feel like with DEI and affirmative action, you're not getting the most qualified candidate. And I'm sitting here, it's like, so what you're saying is that by opening it up to everyone, you're not giving yourself an opportunity to hire the best person?
Wouldn't it be the opposite?
I'll tell you an
Wait.
example. When I hired people, and it's the same way with what I'm doing with Chicago State of Mind, I have a very diverse team. It's not just the diverse in race. I believe that everybody has a voice. Everybody brings unique abilities to a team. I was one of the only people when I was a sales leadership that had a team of black people, team of white people, team of Hispanic people, women. I didn't care. If you were somebody that had passion, if you were somebody that had a team environment type of atmosphere and you worked your ass off, you got a spot with me. I didn't give a damn. But I did not want a team where I looked at everybody and they all looked the same and they all talked the same. That's not diversity. That's also not a team. You're not learning from anything from that. So for me, when I look at DEI, I look at it from a standpoint of, don't you want some diversity? Because don't you want to have some variation? Don't you want to have some differences? Everybody on your team should like Brad. Everybody on your team should talk like Brad. And we know what I'm talking about with Brad's. I've worked at companies like that where you have the same type of guy, and it's the same type of corporate speak. And it's disgusting. DEI does not equal unqualified.
Yeah, this is that Rooney Rule shit all over again with the NFL. That's the first thing I thought of. Where now it's like, oh, you have to incorporate. No, but clearly, since y'all don't want to give us the shot, they're trying to make it so everybody can get the same opportunity. Also, that thing you said, and I kind of laugh when I've heard things like that too. Like, oh, if you just letting everybody get a chance, it makes it worse. No, you're getting a better chance of finding somebody because you have a wider net.
That's right, you overturn it every stone.
I'm like, that just. Like in theory, like that's one of those narratives I get that are just so dumb. Then I'm like, that don't make no sense in your mind because you didn't look at this one type of person. Oh, now it's harder to find the right person. No, you're giving yourself more chances. Like that's so dumb. That and the overqualified, the underqualified shit, that pisses me off too, of course. Like that one drives me up a wall because that's the shit they did to Kamala the entire election with the DEI hire
They
shit. And I'm
sure
like,
did.
that
They sure
doesn't mean
did.
she's less qualified. First of all, I mean, we didn't bring up his name, so I ain't gonna do it. I ain't gonna go there. But I'm just saying, like, if anything, she's more qualified. She was more qualified by 10 times, if anything. But we not gonna, not this episode. We gonna, not this time. I'm digressing. But like that's another one where I'm just like, I don't understand why the including us now makes it like it's got to be a narrative for why this is not fair.
Look, okay.
They're afraid of competition, if anything. That's probably what it is. But
Of course.
I mean, we know that.
Just like us in this media space, man. This was blocked out. We were blocked out of this space. Think about this shit, man. You have sports that were dominated by people of color. Once Jackie Robinson broke the barriers, the floodgates opened, right? But you still had majority white faces talking to these black players' faces, not understanding them. Writing the bullshit narratives about them, which is why athletes don't trust the media now. They talk about the media bias. Where does all that come from? That's because you don't have diversity. When you don't have diversity, you have people that don't understand people. So for me, yeah, DEI is not perfect, but nothing is. The Rooney Rule is not perfect, but you have to put things like that in place because the playing field was not level and it wasn't fair. Maybe if we were in a world where things were fair, and you judge people by the content of their character, like Dr. King said, you wouldn't have this stuff. But see, you all can't have it both ways. If you all don't want to play fair, then guess what? Somebody gonna have to force you to do the right thing. See, that's the problem with people in this world, DJ, is they want to sit here and they want to be the victim. No, you were the ones, your ancestors, the people before you, they're the ones that did that shit. And you want to sit here and try to disassociate yourself from that, but you're no different than them.
Talk about it.
You know why it is? Because They want to sit here, they want to hide, and they want to say, well, I didn't do it. But you're the main one that has opposition to some shit. Why? Why is that?
You're also the one benefiting from the thing that you're saying, I didn't do it.
Now talk about that.
Also, like you said, you're the only one complaining when it happens.
Straight and loudest.
Yep. You're the one with the pitchfork and the sign complaining.
And also, too, I had a white guy that told me, he was like, Press, he's like, I think this DEI and the affirmative action, it encourages hate against white people. Because he was like, you know, he's like, I listen to your show. And he's like, and I know sometimes, he's like, I know where your heart is. But he was like, but if I didn't know you, I would think that you would hate white people. And I said, that's fair. Because sometimes I do hate you motherfuckers. And the reason why I'm saying that, DJ, is because I hate the privilege that they have, and they don't do anything with that privilege. So I do hate that. I also hate people that don't have to go through the things that I go through. And I'm sure women probably listen to this and they're like, Prince, I hate you as a black man. And I'm like, all right. Because there's a privilege that I have as a man that a woman doesn't have. See, everybody, we all have our plights. But that's why we all have to have empathy and understanding about the things that each other has to go through. And see, that's what these people don't do. And that's the problem. And that's why we have these misconceptions.
Yep. You ain't kidding. I do appreciate how you mentioned like even like us too. Like we have our points too, like our privilege in areas. I respect that you admit that though, because some people don't, which is wicked in its own right. But like you said, you know, it is very, for me, it's also kind of irritating when you get these misconceptions just because, you know, you don't want to admit your privilege. That is irritating.
Listen, man, you gotta lay in that bed, and I know that there's things that I
Right.
was born into, right? And I get that, right? But the people that the loudest people in the room about how things aren't fair to them and how now white people are hated unfairly, and I'm sitting here like, instead of being the victim, why don't you actually have compassion for the people that are truly victims?
Right.
I've had people come up to me saying, I didn't do it. No, that's your guilt. That's your guilt talking. Because guess what? I've never raped a woman, but I can understand a woman that comes out and says that she was sexually assaulted. You guys just heard how me and DJ spoke about this Jay-Z thing. I'm a huge Jay-Z fan, but I'm not a fan of no motherfucker raping no damn anybody, let alone a fucking child. Are you kidding me? Fuck out of here. See, that's the problem. You got people out here, they want to say, I'm a good person. The fact that you got to announce that to me means you're not a good person.
Right. That's so real. I'm so glad you said that, 'cause that always is backwards to me. It's like, if you have to say it, now you make me think otherwise.
Yeah, I'm not a racist. Oh shit.
Right.
Oh
Oh
shit.
goodness. Oh goodness. That's the worst one. I'm just like, all right, well, you just secretly said you're racist. Louder than you could have been by just doing something racist.
Yeah, now my antenna's up,
No, right. You're
bitch.
just, they said that, and you're just like, uh-oh.
But why? But
Immediately.
why would somebody? And this is the thing, and I've said this on the show before, the term woke, right? That term means something different in our community than it means in other communities. And they've turned that term woke and they've tried to turn it into a negative. For black people, we know when somebody says, hey fam, stay woke. We know what that means. Other communities, they've taken that now and they've used that as a negative against us that we're a problem because we're aware of things and the conditions that are going on in the world. And it's a problem. Why is it a problem that we're aware of our conditions? Why is it a problem that we know our rights, that we understand our rights? Why is it a problem that we are now demanding to be treated respectfully and we are no longer okay with being considered three-fifths of a person? See, when I hear all this DEI stuff, that's what it brings up. This is just another way for marginalized communities and people's opinions to stay marginalized. And again, I said on last week's show, it all comes down to people wanting to be superior. And who are those people? See, that's what I want people to think about when we're having these type of conversations. Ain't none of us asking for no handouts. I'm an entrepreneur. I built a platform from the ground up. No dollars, no grants, no loans.
Tell him.
So don't sit up here and talk to me about DEI, nothing. I go out there and get it every day. And it's so funny that I have people that are outside of my race that'll be like, oh man, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? You're traveling, you're working. I'm like, ain't nothing given to me. I'm going out there and getting it. You enjoy your meal. You enjoy your Thanksgiving. See, Thanksgiving don't mean the same to me than it does to you. Because if you are a student of history that they're trying to take out of the schools to whitewash, you know that your Thanksgiving was nothing but a massacre.
Ooh, yeah. Yup.
But see, that's where when we talk about all this DEI stuff, it's like, let's talk about it. Let's have a conversation, people. See, we're having these conversations because what happened in 2020, DJ, made a lot of white people uncomfortable in this world because they
Yup.
had to really face the fact of, God, our history is ugly in this country.
Yup. And they've been ignoring it. They've been ignoring it, and they had to face it.
They finally had to face it. And this is what we're seeing right now in 2024, where white people had to face the truth of what history was. What happened? Now we're rolling back DEI. Now we're talking about giving cops full immunity. Now we're putting somebody in president that you know is not even fit to even fucking run a council meeting, and he's gonna be the president of fucking the country? Okay. Anyway. DEI does not only benefit certain groups. And I think that people need to get that shit out of their fucking minds, DJ. Because that's
They
not what
do.
it's about. Because Trump had the nerve, I'm gonna bring his name on it. I'm sorry, I didn't want to do it on this
Ah,
episode.
you did
I
it.
know, I did.
Ah.
But he had the nerve to sit up here and talk about these black jobs. And you know those black jobs that he was referencing were all the low paying jobs, the frontline jobs. Then what did he try to tell the poor people and the uneducated people? That there's other people that are coming into this country to take these jobs away from you. See how they plant the seeds of division, and that's not what they're doing now at the DEI. So this DEI is going to take your job away from you because it's going to go to some under qualified candidate that doesn't deserve this job. And they're only getting this job because they belong to a certain class. See, that's the thing that nobody talks about is they put all these things in people's heads and everybody's all divided and separated from each other. Meanwhile, the richer continue to get richer. And your Brian Thompsons of the world are sitting here laughing all the way to the fucking bank. Well, in his case, not anymore.
Oh.
DJ, gonna hit him with that curtain call, bruh.
This current call goes to Patty Samar. Samar worked at Rush Medical Center as an affairs assist nurse when she met Kirk, who was a dialysis patient. Samar befriended Kirk, and when she learned that his donated kidney was failing, she helped launch a search campaign to find him a live donor. Samar then decided to get tested herself and found out that she was a match for Kirk's kidney. So without hesitation, she gave the life-saving gift of her own kidney. Man, honestly, that is props to her. I really don't have any words because the first thing I think of when it comes to kidney donation is Nate Robinson. And for me, Prez, like that was my favorite basketball player growing up. So I really have like an attachment to like people who decide to donate like blood and stuff like that. And especially knowing like what happened to my favorite basketball player and just, you know, helping people's lives in general. So just big ups to Patty, because I just, wow, like that's an amazing thing to do.
I'm telling you, DJ, and the thing about it is that not only did she donate it, she did it for like someone that was a relative stranger. There's people out here in the world, they wouldn't even do that for a family member, and she didn't
Right.
think twice to do it for a stranger. That's dope. And she's definitely deserving of this curtain call. Audience, we appreciate you guys as always for your continued support of the platform. As we always say, without you, we wouldn't be. We're the Pulling Back the Curtain podcast. Thanks for listening.